Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 26. 1 Peter chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 26. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. Let's stand together. We'll read through verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion. What is compassion? Caring. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That's always nice, isn't it? Yeah. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Notice what Peter is telling those people to do. Do what? Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, you tell us that you will listen to our prayers when we do that which is right. Lord, we thank you that you will listen to our petitions and help us, Lord, to do right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's continue reading at verse 14. 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the title of our sermon this morning. But sanctify or separate the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You do have hope, don't you? Amen. You do believe that the Lord is able to take care of us, Amen. That he has blessed us mightily. Verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or lifestyle in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Peter, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, is encouraging his readers to remain faithful. Peter, to the dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, he is encouraging them, no matter what the cost, remain faithful to the Lord. Peter, to the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, and peculiar people, remain faithful. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. It is my belief that Peter never forgot the night that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. That he never forgot it. That it was in the back of his mind continually. It is with that thought that we find Peter encouraging his readers to remain faithful to the Lord no matter the cost. Can I encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord? Can I encourage you that in this day and age in which darkness continues to grow, that we need to remain faithful? And can I tell you this, no matter how dark it is, it cannot put out the light. Amen. It cannot put out the light. And we need to keep our lights shining for the cause of Christ. Take your Bibles now, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 26. We are going to note Peter's seven steps downward. Now, I've been in church my whole life. Thankfully, my parents brought me to church regularly. I think that's good that a Baptist preacher takes his kid to church, right? I never asked my parents, are we going to church today? Because you know what? I knew where we were going to church. I'm going on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I knew. For a long time, visitation effort was from our house. And so, you know, I knew this was what it was all about. And during the years that I have lived, first at home as a young boy and as a teenager, I saw people that were faithful to the Lord for a while, and then they began to slip away from church. And then as I began to work as an employee here at the church in 1975 and down through the years, I've seen all too many that were faithful for a time. For a time. I could name you person after person after person after person, and I would do it sadly. A people that were once faithful to the house of God, and today they are no longer even involved in anything remotely close to church. And I don't say that to shame them or to brag upon myself. It's sad, though. Amen. Amen. Because no saint ever falls by himself. They never fall by themselves. They always take somebody with them or someone's. Number of years ago, when I was the youth director here, I knocked on the door of a house, and a young person came to the door, and they were talking a little bit to me, and I was inviting them to church, and they said they went over here to Ford High School, and I said, well, I went to Stevenson, and they said they were sorry. But I told them, I named two or three people that came to our church that went to Ford High School, and she said, he goes to your church? And I said, yes. And she began to shut the door, and she goes, I guess that's why they won't come. And you think to yourself, how sad, I could not name this person because they had a testimony that was not right. Folks, we need to have testimonies that the Lord Jesus Christ is important to us and that we live like he's important to us. And so there are seven steps here that we find that Peter took that would lead to something he would never forget. We note to be on guard that we do not drift from our Lord. Number one, Peter's failure to be humble before Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now that sounds like a logical statement, doesn't it? I mean, you want to defend yourself. Don't you want to defend yourself? We defend ourselves all the time. The police officer pulls you over, and the first thing you want to say is, what did I do? You know what you did. You know. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter was not willing to be instructed. Jesus says, you're all going to be offended. Peter says, no, I won't. Jesus said, three times you will. Peter should have immediately said, Lord, please help me not to do this. But he said, no, I won't do that. Folks, given the right temptation at the right time, all of us would do the wrong thing. We need to be as close to the Lord as possible. Take heed lest ye fall, the Bible tells us. Pride goeth before a fall, it is said. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It can be for the individual. It can be for a church. And it can be for a nation. And I believe we live in a very prideful nation. Yes, there's good things to be proud of, but there are things in which we should be ashamed. This week, Roe versus Wade will be celebrated by many, and over 65 million Americans have been murdered. I heard this past Tuesday, not murdered, but executed. Can I ask you this? When will God punish us for that? 65 million Americans. And yet we say, oh, we have the right. Because man passes certain laws, it doesn't give us the right to do it. Amen. There in Proverbs, it also says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Humanism is taking us down the wrong trail, folks. Number two, Peter failed to watch with Jesus, beginning at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus unto them, unto a place, or excuse me, with them, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know the story that Jesus is going to be arrested shortly. And then there'll be the trials and the beatings and then, of course, the crucifixion. And he becomes very sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Help me through this. Be here. Pray. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is of interest that of the 11 disciples that were sleeping, our Lord calls who by name? Calls Peter. Peter, the one who said, I'll never deny thee. I'll always be with you, no matter what the cost. And Peter is what? Sleeping. And Jesus calls him in particular. You think there's a reason he calls on Peter? I think this is another saying, Peter, be careful. You said you're going to do this, but look, you can't even watch with me for 1 hour. Number three, Peter failed to pray with the Lord. He tells him in verse 41, watch and pray. Verse 32 says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them, what? Asleep again. Peter, I asked you to pray. Peter, hey, can I count on you? I'm not going to ask for volunteers to raise their hand so I can pick on you. So I'll just raise my hand. Paul, will you be faithful? Will you pray? Can I count on you to be there for me? Peter, why are you sleeping again? Jesus is going to be shortly arrested. He's going to be put through the trial. You know, if you've been with someone for 3 years in the close confines that Peter was with Jesus, do you think he got to know the looks on his face? Isn't it terrible? You're someplace and you can't tell if someone's smiling at you or frowning at you because of your masks. Yes. You think he knew the moods of Jesus? He'd seen him angry. He'd seen him sorrowful. He knew. He must have known that things were heavy upon his master's heart. Number four, Peter failed to submit to Christ. We found in verse 31 that he said that all would be offended that night when they smote the shepherd. And let's begin reading now at verse 51. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Who did that? Peter did that. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? We find that Jesus knew that he was going to die. Verse 55 says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out as against the thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. He failed to submit. Now, it would be hard to see your friend arrested, and yet Peter at this time takes out a sword and begins to swing it. What was he by nature? Was he a soldier? No, he was a fisherman. I don't think you use a sword too often when you're fishing. I guess they're all lucky they didn't get hacked up by Peter's sword. Yes. Number five, Peter failed to follow closely to Jesus. Verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him, what's the Bible says? Afar off. He failed to follow closely. Can I tell you something? My greatest fear as I grow older. How old am I now? 67. My wife and I were the same age when we got married. She now is 10 years younger than me. I don't know how that happened. This is my granddaughter with me here. Love grandkids. You can send them home. Yeah. But you know what my greatest fear is? That I'll drift away. That's my greatest fear. My greatest fear is that I'll just get tired of it all. You think that I could get tired of it all? I don't know. I've seen pastors drift away. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say, well, I can still see Jesus. He's right over there. You know, when I go to waterfalls, I like to take pictures. And I like to get close. We were at one place, and the fence was there, and the sign said, people have lost their lives here trying to get a better picture. I covered it up so Donna couldn't see it. And she said, I know what you're thinking, and you are not going over that fence. I did not. I didn't go over it. If I had time, I could tell you of another waterfall we were at where she was sleeping in the car. I'd worn her out. And I went to the waterfall, and to get a better picture, I had to slide down this hill to a tree. If I missed the tree, I would go over the edge. So I slid down the hill to the tree. Thank the Lord, the tree held. I'm here to tell you all about it. You know, to get closer. Do you want to get closer to the Lord? Yes? Well, just saying that doesn't make you closer to the Lord. It means that you have to do certain things, right? That there are certain things you must be willing to do. You're doing one of them right now, being in the house of God, praying, reading the Bible. These are important. Amen. Keeping your eyes on the Lord. And Peter was afar off. He was watching, but he wasn't involved. Folks, we need people who are involved in the work of the Lord. Number six, Peter failed to stand up for his Lord. It says in verse 69a, now Peter sat without in the palace. Peter saw what was happening to Jesus. He, that being Jesus, had told his disciples repeatedly that he would be taken by sinful men and that he would be crucified. Yet Peter should have been there. What he should have been. Can I tell you this, that down through the years, hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of believers have died for the cause of Christ. They have been martyred for their faith. Not just fed to the lions, not just used as streetlights in the city of Rome, but they've been taken out at low tide and tied to poles, and then the high tide came in. And as the water's rising, they were given the opportunity to recant their faith, or they would drown. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can't think of any death worse than being drowned. We know that they were burned at the stake. We know that they were tortured in any number of ways. These were those who stayed close. Peter failed to stand up for his Lord. He was outside watching, but not standing with Jesus. And then number seven, Peter failed to acknowledge his allegiance with Christ, beginning at verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now don't you think bells should have been going off? Don't you think red flags should have been waving? Peter, what were you told? And what have you done? Verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to what? Curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Peter failed to acknowledge his allegiance with Christ. Peter, tradition says that he was crucified upside down. It's good that God gives us a second chance. It's good that if we fall by the wayside, the Bible tells us a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Thank you. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now stop reading. I know the verse continues. The book of Luke tells us that at that very moment, there was nothing between Jesus and Peter, and Jesus looked at him. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. Peter failed to acknowledge his allegiance with Christ. Three times, Peter was given an opportunity to say, yes, I am one of his followers. Yes, I saw the great things that he did. Yes, I listened to those words of his. Yes, I am one of his. And he three times said no, the last time cursing and swearing. Every time he heard the crowing of a cock through life, he remembered. Every time he remembered. And verse 75 ends with these words, and he went out and wept bitterly. How sad it is when a believer drifts from the Lord. When this believer leaves, no doubt that they are not a follower of Christ anymore. And he went out and wept bitterly. Revelation 7:17 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Again in chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why will there be tears in heaven? Number one reason is because of regrets. Regrets. Because I have denied the Lord. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and ask if you've never denied the Lord, because I can't raise my hand, so I don't want to see that you can raise yours. Is that being selfish on my part? But I will ask you this, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. How many of you have regrets in your spiritual life? Every one of us. But that was yesterday. Today's a new day. Let's stay close to our Lord. Let's remain faithful. Peter never forgot what he had done. And he is encouraging his readers, you may suffer, but that's okay. Because Peter was afraid of suffering. And he realized that he suffered more because of his unwillingness to serve faithfully. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook, a familiar hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It should be our desire to let the Lord have his way in our life. The altar is here. You can come and pray. Pray by yourself, or we'd be willing to pray with you. You can come and sit on the front pew and pray there. Or maybe you would just like to sit where you're at and pray, asking the Lord to give you strength to remain faithful in your Christian walk. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would give us strength to remain faithful. And Lord, we may never know when an opportunity may avail itself to stand up for the Lord. May we be willing to stand. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.